أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Surah 55.
Ar-Rahman.
Title. The opening word of the surah constitutes its title. In other words, the title signifies the surah's use of the word
Ar-Rahman.
Furthermore, the title is indicative of the contents of this surah, for it recounts at length the manifestations of the Most Compassionate Lord.
Ar-Rahman.
Period of Revelation. The Quran exegetes, Al-Mufassirun, generally regard it as a Meccan surah. However, some reports on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas, Ikrama, and Qatada speak of it as a Medinan surah. However, the same authorities are found in other reports referring to it as Meccan. Moreover, its subject matter is closer to Meccan than Medinan surahs. Its content suggests that it must have been sent down in the early Meccan phase. Several authentic reports point to its revelation in Mecca a few years before the Hijrah. Contained in the Musnad of Ahmad is this report from Asma bint Abi Bakr. I saw the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, offering salah near the Kaaba, facing the corner in which the black stone is installed. This was before Allah had asked him to make his call publicly as communicated to him in Al-Hijr 1594. In that prayer, the polytheists heard the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, reciting, "Which of the bounties of your Lord will you twain, you men and jinn, then deny?"
Ar-Rahman
55:11. Thus, it is evident that this surah was revealed before
Surah Al-Hijr.
Al-Bazar, Ibn Jarir, Ibn Al-Mundhir, Daraqutni, Ibn Mardoi, and Al-Khatib narrated Abdullah ibn Umar's report as follows. Once Surah
Ar-Rahman
was recited by the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, himself, or by someone before him, he asked those present, "Why is it so that I do not get from you the same excellent response which the jinn had given to their Lord?" They inquired him as to what that response was. He replied, "As I recited, which of the bounties of your Lord will you twain, you men and jinn, then deny?"
Ar-Rahman
55:11. The jinn responded saying, "No, we do not deny any bounty of our Lord." An identical report is narrated by Tirmidhi, Hakim, and Hafiz Abu Bakr Bazar on Jabir ibn Abdullah's authority. According to this report, when those present remained silent after listening to the recitation of Surah
Ar-Rahman,
the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, told them, "When I recited this surah to the jinn who had assembled for listening to the Quran, they had given a better response than you. Whenever I recited the verse, 'Which of the bounties of your Lord will you twain, you men and jinn, then deny?' they responded saying, 'O our Lord, we do not deny any of your bounty. All praise is for you.'" One thus learns that the incident of the jinn listening to the Quran recitation occurring in
Al-Ahqaf
46:29-32 also involved the recitation of Surah
Ar-Rahman,
which the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, read as part of his prayer. The above incident happened in the 10th year of the Prophet's career. It was then that he stayed for a while at Nakhla on his return from Taif. Some reports nonetheless add that the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, was then not aware that the jinn were listening to his recitation. It was later that Allah informed him of the same. It is, however, likely that Allah then informed him also of the jinn's above-mentioned response to the recitation of Surah
Ar-Rahman.
What is clear from these reports is that Surah
Ar-Rahman
was revealed before Surahs
Al-Ahqaf
and
Al-Hijr.
Another report affirms that it is one of the early Meccan surahs. Ibn Ishaq cites Urwa ibn Zubair to this effect. One day, some companions said among themselves that the Quraysh had never heard anyone reciting the Quran aloud. "Who among us will do this?" Abdullah ibn Masud volunteered. The companions expressed their apprehension that he would be tortured by the Quraysh. "Someone from an influential, powerful family should better do this, for then the fear of retaliation would restrain the Quraysh." Ibn Masud, however, insisted that he would go ahead, saying that Allah would protect him. The next morning, he reached the Kaaba, around which the Quraysh chiefs were seated. While standing next to Abraham's station, he commenced the recitation of Surah
Ar-Rahman.
It took the Quraysh chief some time to figure out his recitation. When they realized that this was what the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, presented as the word of God, they swooped on him and hit him badly on his face. He did not give up and persisted in reciting it as long as he could manage in the face of constant heavy thrashing. When he returned with a swollen face, companions told him that they had apprehended the same. He replied, "I now take them very lightly. If you ask me, I will recite the Quran again before them tomorrow." They, however, asked him not to do so, for he had fulfilled the wish of reciting the Quran before them. Ibn Hisham, Sirah, Volume 1, page 336. Subject matter and themes. This is the only Quranic surah in which jinn, another creature invested with free will and living on earth, is addressed directly along with human beings. Both are warned against the dire consequences of their disobedience to Allah, and their attention is drawn to Allah's creative wonders, His countless bounties, their total helplessness against Him, and their answerability to Him. They're also told about the excellent rewards for their obedience to Him. It is clear from the Quran at several places that, like human beings, jinn are an independent, accountable species that is free to choose between faith and unbelief, and between surrender or rebellion. Among jinn, there are believers and unbelievers who follow or defy divine guidance, as it is with human beings. Again, like with human beings, there are communities of jinn who profess faith in the messengers and scriptures. However, it is Surah
Ar-Rahman
that explicitly states that the call of the Quran and the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, is meant for both human beings and jinn, and that the Prophet's message was not specific to human beings alone. At the beginning of the Surah, the address is directed to human beings as Allah's vicegerent on earth. Messengers were appointed from among human beings, and the scriptures were sent down in human languages. However, in verse 13 and onwards, the surah addresses both human beings and jinn. The same call is presented before both. The surah comprises short sentences that follow a particular order. Verses 1 to 4 state that the teachings of the Quran are from Allah. Out of His mercy, He has imparted this guidance to humankind, for He has created them as beings endowed with the faculty of reason. Verses 5 to 6 declare that Allah manages all the affairs of the universe. All that is in the heavens and on earth obeys Him. There is no one else in the universe who has any share in Godhead. Verses 7 to 9 describe another important truth, that Allah has established the system governing the universe with perfect justice. It is therefore natural that all those inhabiting it should act justly and not disturb its natural equilibrium. Verses 10 to 25 recount Allah's creative wonders and speak of His bounties on which human beings and jinn draw. Verses 26 to 30 remind both of the truth that, in the entire universe, no one other than Allah is infinite or eternal. All things are dependent upon Him for all their needs, their existence, and their survival. Likewise, all that happens in the universe, day and night, is owing only to Him. Verses 31 to 36 warn both that the unbelievers will be soon taken to account and that they cannot escape His accountability, for He encompasses them fully. It is beyond them to flee from Him. If they are under any delusion, they may make an attempt to escape. Verses 37 to 38 clarify that answerability will be on the Day of Judgment. Verses 39 to 45 relate the end of those human beings and jinn who disobeyed Allah. Verses 46 to 78 recount at length the rewards that will be bestowed in the next life on those pious human beings and jinn who lead pious lives and act with the consciousness that one day they will have to appear before their Lord and render their account. The whole discourse is in the form of an oration and is studded with rhetoric. It is indeed a powerful, moving oration in which the amazing creations of Allah, many of His bounties, and the manifestations of His might and lordship are mentioned one by one. At each mention, human beings and jinn are asked as to which of His bounties they will deny. The expression Allah used in this context is pregnant with meaning, as it has been used in various contexts and has a special functional value each time the question is posed before human beings and jinn, as discussed in the relevant note.